Hey, you guys, Tomes of Terror time. So this is probably the one that it's probably like the most recent one in the sense that it came out really, really soon to when I'm reviewing it. So I'm kind of proud of myself. You know what I mean? So this book just came out in March 2021, and I'm recording this in May 2021. So I'm like really on the ball with this one. This is like even it's a hardback, yo. I got the hardback. It's not even out in paperback yet. And this book is The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner. Look at that cover. I love this cover so much. It's like kind of shiny, so I'm not sure if you can actually see it. But yeah, so like I said, this book only came out like 2 months ago. And I've been hearing like so much buzz about it. And I saw like all these reviews and everybody was like really excited. It was, you know, I saw like a bunch of booktubers that were kind of like, it was on their list for most anticipated during the year. And the premise for it sounded really, really amazing. And, you know, if you know anything about me, you know that I love shit about poisoners. Like, I don't know why. I find poisoning really fascinating. I like true crime about poisons. I like stories about poisoners. And since this is about a poisoner, I was like really, really jazzed to read this one. Now, I will say from the outset, this is not a horror novel. I'm not even sure what genre I would call it, really. It's kind of like it's historical fiction. It's sort of a mystery thriller type thing. Some of it's set in the modern day, too. It's almost kind of like I saw some people compare it to something like the Da Vinci Code or something like that. There's a tiny, tiny bit of like magical realism in there, like that maybe magic could be real, but it's kind of left ambiguous. So it's not like scary or anything like that, but it was still like a really, really enjoyable book. It wasn't exactly what I was expecting, like from the synopses that I read, but that said, it's a really easy read. I almost want to call it like a beach read in the sense that it's pretty fast-paced. It's not real dark. It's not real dense. You know, it doesn't go like real in depth into a lot of the characters and stuff. It just keeps moving along at a good clip. So if you like historical mystery type stuff or, you know, things about poisoners, then you would probably really dig this. I did see that a lot of the reviews on this were sort of mixed in the sense that a lot of people on Goodreads like really, really loved it. But then I saw a lot of BookTubers reviewing it, and a lot of them, I mean, a couple of them really, really hated it, and a couple of them just thought it was okay, but it was just like disappointing. I wasn't really, you know, expecting a huge amount. I just said, well, if it's about a poisoner and it's kind of like a thriller mystery type thing, then that's cool. That's good enough for me. So I didn't have it built up in my head to the point that I was just kind of like, oh, that wasn't what I was expecting. It was kind of what I was expecting, but not exactly. But I will say, don't go into it expecting a horror novel because it's not. And it's a pretty light read in the sense that bad shit happens in it, like people die and everything, but it's not a bummer. You know what I mean? It's just a really, really easy book to read. Now, this is Sarah Penner's debut novel. So for a debut novel, it's actually quite good. I think, like I said, if I was going to give it a star rating, which I don't usually do, and I don't do that on a lot of my reviews, I just kind of do it haphazardly, I would maybe give it like a 3.5. It was enjoyable enough that I read it really, really quickly because I think it's only like 300, 350 pages or something. It's not super long, but it was just kind of like when I put it down, I always kind of wanted to pick it back up again and see what was happening. So it really did keep me interested in where it was going to go, like where the mystery was going to go. The characters are a little underdeveloped, but the plot keeps moving pretty quickly, so that didn't really bother me all that much. So let me kind of give a breakdown of what's going on in this book. So as I said, it's sort of historical fiction, but some of it's set in the modern day too. So it goes back and forth. One thing I will say that it goes back and forth between two sets of characters. Well, pretty much in the modern day, you have a woman named Caroline. That's in the first person. And then in the past, which is in 1791, which is when the historical part is set, you have actually two characters. One woman, the apothecary, whose name is Nella, and a 12-year-old girl named Eliza Fanning. And depending on who's doing the shit, it goes back and forth between those two characters, but all of it is in the first person. So sometimes it's a little bit like each chapter is called like Nella or Eliza or whatever. So you know who's talking, but it's in the first person, so you're jumping between three different characters, but they're all speaking from their own point of view. So just, it's a little bit confusing, but you do kind of get used to it after a little while. So in the present day, we're following this woman, Caroline. Now, she has been, her and her husband were, had planned this this trip to London for, because they're from Cincinnati or whatever. And they had planned this trip to London for their 10th wedding anniversary. And they had all of this, I think they were going to stay a week or two or whatever. And they had all this itinerary and she was super, super excited about it. And she's super excited about, oh, we're, you know, then we get back, we're going to have a baby and all this other stuff. So a few days before they leave on the trip, however, she accidentally discovers that her no good husband, James, has been fucking around. So obviously she's not real jazzed about going on this anniversary trip, which was supposed to be this big romantic trip where they're going to try and like make a baby or whatever. And she's like, okay, well now I don't want to go with him. So she decides, fuck you, I'm going to go by myself, which I was like, you know what? Good for her. So she goes by herself and makes his cheating ass stay home. Now, one thing about Caroline is that she's happy in her life until she finds out this about this cheating bullshit. But I think like she still kind of has a little bit of lingering resentment, I guess, because I suppose she got like a history degree, like a I guess it was like a bachelor's, and she was actually going to go to Cambridge in the UK and do her master's. But then she got married and then her husband was kind of like an accountant and he's all very Mr., you know, we can't run off and study history. You'll never get a job doing that. It's not practical, yada, yada. So she ended up taking a job like just working secretarial or like a clerk at her parents' farm, you know, which was a more stable position. But she was kind of like, she seemed like a little bummed out that she didn't really get to use a lot of her studies that she had done. And she was like really interested in. So she had, it wasn't like a big deal, I guess, but it's like she still had like some lingering resentment about it. So when she found out that James was cheating on her and she's sort of at this kind of crisis in her life and she goes to the UK by herself, it's almost kind of like, so this is almost kind of like a woman, you know, coming into her own and like finding herself again type of story too. So there's a little bit of that aspect. So if that sounds like something that's going to turn you off, then you might not be into it. It doesn't bother me. I'm not real into that kind of, it's not chick lit. I'm not going to say that. And I know that's kind of like a reductive term, but I tend not to like a lot of these sort of stories of like, you know, women finding themselves or all this other kind of stuff. It's like some of them are good, but it's not usually a genre that I'm real crazy about. But so it does have a little aspect of that. But like I said, I wasn't really bothered. So she goes to the UK by herself and on a lark, she kind of decides when she's just kind of wandering around, sort of bummed out about where her life's going to go now, she runs into this guy who's heading a tour group who's going mudlarking in the Thames. Now, this is a real thing, and I guess Sarah Penner went to the UK and she actually did this, so I guess this is where she got the idea. So there's groups of people that go and they'll kind of sort through the mud, like on the banks of the river at various places, looking for, you know, old artifacts that they find, you know, that they think are interesting. So she decides, yeah, what the hell, you know, she's really into history and she likes that kind of shit. So she joins them and does it. And she ends up finding this little bitty blue vial with something that looks like a little bear etched on it. So she gets kind of interested in it. She's like, ooh, I wonder where this came from. And she asks the guy and he's just kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's probably from an apothecary shop. But usually, you know, usually an apothecary shop would have like the address on it or like the logo of the store. And this one doesn't have that. It just has that bear. So that's a little weird. So she gets really intrigued. So she decides that she's going to investigate like where this vial came from. Because as I said, she's really into history and she felt like she'd been neglecting it because of, you know, getting married and having to have a boring job and all that kind of stuff. So it so happens that the guy that runs the mudlarking group, his daughter named Gaynor, works at the British Library. So Caroline ends up going there and they, you know, start to solve the mystery of where this vial came from. Now, this whole time, like while this story is going on, you're also going back in time to 1791, to this woman who's, I guess she's like a middle-aged woman. I don't really think they say like how old she is, but she runs an apothecary shop. Now her mother owned the apothecary shop, and her mother, all she did was make medicines, like, you know, for women. It was an apothecary shop for specifically for women, you know, for, she would have all kinds of tinctures for, you know, I think she did like some magical shit too, but, you know, mostly just stuff for like pregnancy and, you know, your menstruation and all that kind of stuff. So it was like a woman specific type of thing, but she was a healer. Now, Nella inherited the shop from her mother, and she had a very, very bad experience also with a shitty dude of her own who not only cheated on her, but also did something really, really bad, which I like really shitty that I won't spoil. And she decides, know what? I know all this stuff about plants and poison stuff. I'm going to kill that motherfucker. So she did, probably deservedly so. So from that point forward, she decided she does healing remedies and stuff too from the apothecary shop, but she also starts selling poisons. Her one caveat being that she will only sell poisons to women to kill men. She will not kill a woman. She will not knowingly, you know, administer a poison that she knows is going to kill a woman. So she's been doing that. And obviously, because this is very illegal, even in 1791 London, she had to basically hide her apothecary shop. So if you come in this door, like it looks like there's nothing in there. It's just kind of like this storeroom with like a barrel or whatever. But her shop is like behind this false wall that has like shelves and shit on it. But she has such a reputation around town that people know, like, hey, if you need a poison, you write down what you want. You stick it in this barrel, like in this little storeroom, and she'll pop out and get it and mix the poison for you. So it's kind of following her story as well. And she, at some point, this little girl who's 12, Eliza, she comes to the shop because she works for a woman who wants to kill her stupid husband. And so Eliza has come there to, you know, get the preparation made. Now, Eliza gets really, really interested about poison and about the occult and magic and stuff. So the two of them, Nella and Eliza, kind of strike up this sort of unlikely friendship sort of thing, even though Nella doesn't want to involve this little girl in all of this chicanery that she's up to, like killing people and whatnot. But Eliza is so interested and she won't go away. So it's almost kind of like, but her meeting Eliza ends up having pretty dire repercussions along the way. So this book, since it just came out just a couple months ago, I don't really want to spoil too much about it, but it's basically a parallel thing. You are following, you know, in 1791, you're following Nella and Eliza and their poisoning shenanigans. And, you know, maybe they're going to get caught. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe that's going to happen. And that's like a really good, compelling story. Because like I said, I love shit about poisoners. And then in the modern day, you're following Caroline, who has found this vial, which, if you didn't figure it out, came from that the lost apothecary shop. And you're following Caroline, like figuring out where it came from, you know, eventually like digging up the shop and all this other kind of stuff. Now, as I said, this is a really quick, fun, it's just a fun, easy breezy, beautiful. You know what I mean? It's that kind of, it's not deep. It's not all that dark, even though it's about poisoning people, which it's a little strange, but you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, it's just an easy read. And so if you liked, you know, stuff like the Da Vinci Code or something like that, I saw a couple of people compare it to that, which I guess is sort of, it's a similar kind of thing, like a historical mystery. Now, I will say that it's a book that you really, like I said, the characters aren't super deep. Caroline in particular does some kind of stupid shit, you know what I mean? Or stuff that's or unbelievable shit. And her husband, James, also does something kind of unbelievable, like toward the end, because like a douche, like he shows up because she's like, hey, I came to London to get away from you. And he's just shows up like the next day, like, oh, I chased you over. And she's like, oh, goody. You know what I mean? So there's that kind of thing. So there's that whole issue. So you do, I will say that you do have to suspend your disbelief a little bit, because some of the stuff that happens just seems a little too, seems like plot contrivance. You know what I mean? Like, oh, how convenient that this, that, and the other thing. So there's some of that, but it's just one where you kind of, I'm not saying like turn your brain off or anything like that, but I'm just saying it's just kind of like a fun, adventure mystery type of thing. If you like stuff about that era of England, and if you like stuff about poisoners, which I do, then you will probably enjoy it. I thought it was a perfectly fine, enjoyable book. Like I said, it kept me interested all the way to the end. It's not a great work of literature or anything like that, but like for a first novel, it's actually really good and it has like a bunch of interesting shit in it. Obviously, Sarah Penner, like I said, she went to the UK, she went mudlarking. She did a massive amount of research about poisons and about the laws back then and how shit would have worked and stuff. So, I just think it was just a really fun, enjoyable read. And so if that sounds like something you would like I said, it's not horror. It's historical fiction, little bit of magical realism in there, just kind of sprinkled over it. Little bit of a mystery, thriller, suspense type of thing. There is suspense in the form of, are Nella and Eliza going to get caught for all the poisoning? Is Caroline, there's something that happens in the modern day too with Caroline and her stupid husband. And what I mean, she doesn't kill him or anything, but it's something along those lines. So it's kind of like a parallel story. So it's that kind of thing. So if that sounds like something that would be your cup of tea, then by all means check it out. Like I said, it's not out on paperback yet because it's too new. So I can't remember how much I paid for the hardback. It wasn't horribly expensive, but I just honestly like it sounded cool because I was like, poisoners, I'm in. And the cover was so beautiful. Yes, I'm that shallow. Well, I mean, like books are concerned. I'm just kind of like, a nice cover really does help your shit out a lot. So that's why you should hire a professional graphic designer like me. But yeah, so I don't remember. I don't think it was horribly expensive, but it's out in hardback and you can get the audiobook as well. I've heard the audiobook wasn't great, but I don't really know because I can't really get into listening to audiobooks. It's just I get my mind starts to wander like when I'm listening to other people talking. So I can't really concentrate on what's happening. I have to have it in front of me and like I have to read it and like have it going on in my head. I can't just listen to somebody else telling it to me. So I know that's weird, but I know some people like to listen to them, but I don't know. So I don't know if the audiobook is any good or not. I've heard it wasn't good, but that was just from a couple people. So I take that with a grain of salt. I'm just saying, but it's just a fun book. Like I said, probably like 3.5 stars. There is some stuff in there that I was just kind of like, what? That wouldn't happen like that, or why is she doing that? Like, you know what I mean? Or, there's just, but it was mostly just little shit. I wasn't really like all that concerned about it. And overall, I thought it was just like a really fun read. So that's all I can kind of say about it. So check it out if that sounds like something you would enjoy. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.